Welcome to Lifelines Radio, a production of the Pennsylvania Pro-Life Federation. I'm your host, Maria Gallagher, Acting Executive Director of the Federation. Joining us today is author Belinda Taro Mooney. Belinda is a good friend of mine. She is an excellent writer, excellent speaker, excellent life coach, and we're so happy to have her with us today. Welcome, Belinda, to the program.
Hi, Maria. Good to be here.
Belinda, how did you come to be a writer?
Well, that's kind of a long story, but it began quite early in my life. I felt like God was calling me to be a writer as early as 5 years old. Like, it's one of my earliest memories that I wanted to be a writer and a professor. He just put that into my heart as a deep desire, and I just kept that dream, and I kept working on it. So I guess I just love people and I wanted to help them in any way I could. So he taught me how to do intercessory prayer, and then he taught me how to write. And those two things have helped me to help other people along with my teaching. So he's really fulfilled that desire and that dream. If I could expand just a bit, in my childhood, I wrote like poems and short stories. Then when I became a social worker, a professional social worker, and a professor, an adjunct professor at GSU in Oglethorpe, I was writing like articles, and then I wrote a book. My first published book was back in 1993, I want to say, about teenagers who have what's called coexisting disorders with mental health and addictions. And so when, you know, all that writing was kind of coming forward in my life, and then I came home to homeschool my children. And so then I wrote two workbooks slash study guides that accompany Christ the King, Lord of History, and Christ in the Americas. They're two Catholic texts that homeschoolers use. And so I wrote the workbooks to those books, and it's a lot for me at that homeschooling with all those kids. I have seven children, but I wrote articles and all that. And then coming back into my field of human services in 2021, I wrote a workbook on, it's called My Therapeutic Lifestyle Changes Workbook, Creating a Comprehensive Plan for a Calm, Ordered Life. And that was to help my students be able to put these TLCs, we call them the Therapeutic Lifestyle Changes, short as TLCs, into their life and get order in their life and hopefully prevent burnout, because that's what happened to me. And then, I also wrote with Ann Carroll, who wrote The Christ, the King, Lord of History. She and I wrote one book that I published for us. It's on Amazon, Christ, the King, Lord of History, The Continuing Story. So those two books came out in 2021. And then now I'll talk to you in a minute about my latest writing projects with the Saints and the poetry book that's coming out next Friday. So yeah, it's a long life. Oh my goodness.
You know, you seem like a natural storyteller. Is that the case?
Well, I love stories. I don't know. I think I tell stories better orally than in writing. So I do a lot of humorful things in the classroom when I'm teaching or speaking. And I try to put things that will help people to kind of have some humor or some lightness in my writing. But since at this point I'm writing mostly nonfiction, most of the stories I tell that are storytelling kind of things are verbally, but I do foresee the day when I finish writing the biggest projects, the biggest nonfiction projects that I think God wants me to do. I'm going to try to see if I can't do like a collection of short stories or a fiction book. We'll see what it holds. I try not to think too far ahead because I've already got so many books in the queue that I'm working on that I have to take big, deep breaths every once in a while these days because there's a lot going on.
Definitely. Now, what is your latest writing project? Actually, you have two writing projects. Ooh, tell me about both of them.
Okay, so this book of poetry, which you reviewed for me, Maria, thank you so much, called A Look at Life. It's some poems about just life in general, being a child of God, the virtues. And this book of poetry is going to be coming out next Friday. It's April 12th today of 2024. So by next Friday, everybody will be able to pick it up on Amazon. But I'm also in the process of writing a book that I began and pitched to the Catholic Writers Guild online conference at that conference last year in February. This book is called Pray With Us, 365 Days Praying With the Saints. So the Pray With Us title is about praying with the saints. So anyway, I'm in the middle of editing right now with my editor to release it in the fall. We're hoping to have it done by, if not before, by All Saints Day. So, but it starts January the 1st, but it's the kind of book that anybody can pick up anywhere in the year and just start that day. It has a bio and sometimes a quote, and then it's got a prayer that we're praying with the saints. So I envision families and hopefully children using both these books because they could learn the prayers. They could learn to pray in a very simple format. And then with the poetry book, A Look at Life, they could learn to memorize poems and kind of chew on those things so they could work on their own virtues, you know? So, yeah.
Wonderful. Now, how does your faith inform your writing?
Well, it's, I just have to tell you, it's the whole foundation. It's why I write. My faith is the whole reason that I write. God calls me to write something. He gives me the grace to do it. And then we do it together. That's kind of my process. Even when I'm writing professional articles or books for a secular audience, my faith comes through and I don't go against my formation as a Christian, a Catholic in particular, and my conscience. I don't do that. So if it can't go in a book, it won't go. It won't. And I've had people, when I was writing my TLC workbook, I had people say, well, you need to put this in there. You need to put that there. You know, they're not going to publish it. If I said, okay, or are you going to, you know, you're not going to sell as many copies. I said, that's fine. Then I just won't. And I published it myself. So I know I can publish it. And people are buying it. And yes, I have had one person tell me that because it mentions God in it, they can't use it for a big, it would have been a lot of copies. And I just looked up and I said, well, there you go, Lord. I told you I was going to be faithful, and I don't care if they don't buy it. I'm still going to be faithful. So it's all a part of what I do. It's why I write. I don't think I could write if I didn't feel like God was calling me to each and every project. And remember that, you know, all of my life I've been an intercessory prayer warrior, so that my spiritual motherhood is what's coming through in my writing, in my teaching, in whatever. Like I'm here to help people. And God has told me that I'm going to help the most people with my writing. So I'm just trying to help as many people as I can before I die. That's basically right. And I don't mean to be morbid, like, oh, hopefully I'll live 30 more years, right? But I'll be very old if I live 30 more years. And so I'm just trying to reach as many people and do as much good as I can for them, their children, and generations after. And I'm trying to leave my children with a heritage, heritage of writing, the royalties they'll still get from my books, and three of my girls, all three of my girls. So I have seven children, four boys and three girls, and all three of my girls love to write, draw, play music. And my daughter Gianna, who helped me put out the TLC workbook, is already published at 18. After she helped me put that book out and the one that Ann Carroll and I wrote, The Christ the King, Lord of History, Continuing Story, then she put her own work of fiction out. So, you know, I feel like because they have a mother who writes, they'll never be afraid of writing, and they'll think that it's something that they can do. And that's been my experience all through their homeschool time. They were participating in the Poetry Society of Texas, and you know, it was just wonderful, wonderful.
That's beautiful, Belinda. How does your respect for the sanctity of human life affect your writing?
Well, that, since I do a whole bunch of different types of writing and I don't write specifically for, well, my books can be used by people who work in pro-life, but since I don't write specifically for them, what I believe is that every life is precious, every life is unrepeatable, and every life is irreplaceable. There is an image of God in each person, and that person has something to contribute. And my Clifton strengths, if you could listen to this: communication, connectedness, developer is third, and then woo, and then belief. So my belief undergirds all the stuff I'm going to do with people in connecting, communicating, never knowing a stranger, developing them to their fullest potential. See what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So all of this, because I believe that God is our Father and Creator, and I love people, I just believe that He creates us from the tiniest babies to the oldest people to give, to love, to serve each other. And when I see His precious children in pain, then I want to help in any way that I can. First of all, by prayer. And you know what I'm talking about? A lot of intercessory prayer. And then writing. And that's why I write. That's why I have the licenses in social work and addictions. That's why I'm going to get certifications in coaching. Like, you know, it's just, and it's just who I am at the core is the belief of that every life is very, very important to God and to all the rest of us. And I actually mourn in a spiritual way all the people who have been lost in any way, all the people who have been lost, but especially those who have been lost in tragic and traumatizing ways.
Yes, definitely.
Yeah. So I think, you know, I just think that there's just a lot to be said for cherishing each person and cherishing each life. And if we show other people, even those that we disagree with or those that we realize, wow, they're really, their life is not in a good place right now. If we cherish them, we pray, fast, give alms. Those are the three-legged stools that, it's the three-legged stool that St. John Chrysostom said was going to bring down the grace of God, to pray, fast, and give alms. So I have a mass said, all right. Or I fast in the way that I can, or I pray, you know, and then I write, or then I try to teach something to help them, you know, have a more ordered life. And I just think that if the more that we heal, the more that we can leave behind the past and move into the future that God creates for us to be that person that He wanted to be. And then all of us are cherishing life more because we cherish our own lives. We want to just do what we can, right? So.
Absolutely. You're listening to Lifelines Radio. I'm your host, Maria Gallagher, Acting Executive Director of the Pennsylvania Pro-Life Federation. We are speaking today with author Belinda Taro Mooney. Belinda, do you think there is power in the written word to change the culture?
Absolutely. I can just talk for myself, but I know a lot of y'all who are writing do the same thing. I'm writing to bring people closer to God, to heal their minds and hearts. Writing is a form of speaking. So as people hear, either through the written or the spoken word, as they hear the truth and they forgive themselves and others, they can get the healing that will prevent them from perpetrating the abuse they received. You know, a lot of times people act in, and we know that with people, we know that with people who have gotten abortion, a lot of times the trauma is perpetrated again and again because they haven't gone in and done the trauma work around that wound. So there's just so much unhealed trauma and mental illness and addiction right now. And it's just unfortunate that hurt people will go on, you know, or unfortunately going to hurt others in their pain, right? So they're not going to be the best that they can be. So if we're writing and speaking and teaching about how to help people get better, then they're going to be less victims. And I'm constantly telling Jesus, you know, you got to heal us, Lord. If you really want us to be able to serve you in the greatest capacity that we can, you just got to keep healing. So I'm out there trying to help Him heal people. And so I think that the power in the written word, when people won't listen to you speak, sometimes they'll read something in passing on an Instagram post or a bumper sticker, or, you know, it's going to plant seeds. The written word will plant seeds.
I think that's definitely true. And I'm glad you brought up the cycle that some women face, because we know that there are a lot of women out there who do have repeat abortions. It's not publicized very much. You don't hear about it in the media, but it does happen. And you may face a situation where you hear from a woman who's had one, two, three, or more abortions in her life. And yet she can find hope and healing and the strength to move on with her life. And I think that that's so very important.
And those two words, hope and healing, to me, they are the foundation of what I do in pretty much everything I do. I'm trying to bring hope. And I even tell my students at Lone Star Montgomery, I tell them, you know, a lot of people are turned off today by the word optimism, but usually people can grab on to the word hope. So I use the word hope and being hopeful rather than optimism or being optimistic, because hope is a supernatural virtue and a natural virtue. Like it's a virtue. So hope and healing will change the culture.
Yeah, that's so very true. And how do you think we can rebuild a culture of life through talents such as writing?
Okay, so I thought about this, Maria, when you gave me this question, and I guess it would go back to being all that we can be, all that God has created us to be. We're gonna become witnesses and lights in a darkness, right in the dark world. And we never know how much good these do when we combine them, like I said earlier, with the prayer, the fasting, the almsgiving, that three-legged stool that brings down the grace of God. People then are healed, they're converted, they're delivered, they're protected from the forces of evil, right? Then they go forth to help instead of hurt others. So I guess to put it another way, when our areas of woundedness are healed, we can do so much good in so many ways with whatever talents we have.
I think that that is so very true. I know that I think of myself a lot of times as a wounded healer. Right. And I'm trying to help other people. I have suffered wounds in my life, but I am trying to heal from them and to get that restoration so that I can in turn help others, especially to choose life. I think that is so critical in our society today, that we think of ourselves as those wounded healers who come to serve.
Right, right.
Now, what is your hope for your readers?
Well, I always hope and I pray, because I'm praying for everyone who will use any of the books that I write, that they will grow closer to God. They will get the healing they need. They will hear God. They will be healed by Him. And hopefully I'm planting seeds through different things I'm writing in the book. Like when you were talking, I was thinking, yeah, I wish I could just go up on a mountainside somewhere and have this big megaphone and just tell the whole world, if you have trauma in your life, even if it's only one instance, go get EMDR therapy. Like, oh my gosh, God can heal people just with the click of His fingers. But a lot of times He doesn't do it that way. He does it through other people, through, you know, healing prayers and laying on of hands, but He also does it through mental health professionals. And these therapies like EMDR are clinically proven, like these therapeutic lifestyle changes. You know, the most fascinating thing that I learned, and what I'd like to tell all my readers who use the workbook that I wrote on the TLCs, is that these things, even if you have clinical depression, if you use them, sometimes you don't have to stay on medication or even go on it. You'd have to consult with your mental health professional, but this is so life-changing for people. And so I would just like for everybody to, you know, to grow closer to God, to heal from whatever they have to heal. And like, for instance, whenever people use, if they buy my new book, The Look at Life, I hope that that'll help their meditation. If they buy Pray With Us about, you know, the 365-day prayer book, I hope that it'll draw them closer to God, and they'll become, they'll know and become powerful intercessors for other people with the saints and all those who are of us who are already interceding. So it's just stuff like that. Like with the TLC workbook, I hope that they'll plan and they'll have a calm and ordered life, you know, so it's all the good. I just hope the good. Yeah.
What advice do you have for aspiring writers?
Okay, well, that could be a whole program in itself. more minutes do we have? So I think if you feel God calling you to write, then you need to be obedient. And you don't need to worry about if or where it might be published. Just ask God to give you the outline, the ideas that need to go into this book in that outline, and the discipline to actually sit down and write. So if you carry it, you know, there are a lot of people who say, oh, I'd love to write a book one day. Okay, that's very good. And if it's coming from God and you pray for the discipline to get it done, then you will do it. And some of the other techniques that I'm going to share in just a minute will help you. You have to discern if it's just something, oh, it's a nice idea and everybody would like to write. I'd love to play piano and sing on a stage one day because I love to sing. Like, I'd love to do a lot of things, but is it really what I'm called to do? If you're called to write, what are you called to write? Is it poetry? Is it short stories? Or is it maybe just articles, letters to the editor? Like, what kind of writing are you supposed to do? And not everybody's called to write a book because not everybody, especially with nonfiction, has certain types of experiences or professional knowledge and credentialing to write those books, right? So you have to be realistic in what it is you want to write. Maybe it's just a memoir, okay? Every day, grab a journal and just write about your life and how you see your life going. And maybe before you die, you'll start putting that into the computer so that your children will be able to bind that in some kind of a written form and give it to all your grandchildren. Like, it may be something very simple. It doesn't have to be a big deal or published by anybody else. It could be just published by your family. But whatever it is, if you carry something, even a few sheets of paper in your purse or in your backpack or your wallet or whatever, that are dedicated to writing so that when you are inspired, you can write it down and transfer it later into the computer or into that binder that you're keeping for your writing, whatever. And then you have to be disciplined to write, even if it's just once a week. Decide when you're going to write, when you're going to transfer all those notes you've been taking or stuff you've been writing in your journal into the computer, and have a certain time and put it in your schedule. And then I use what's called the Pomodoro method. It's where you set a timer for 25 minutes and you just write or transfer what you've written or type in what you've written, handwritten, whatever it is, that's your writing time. And you're sitting there writing, and then when the timer dings or my Alexa goes off, I just get up and I go put on a load of laundry or, you know, go to the bathroom, get some more water, like whatever it is, and then sit down and write again. And even if you just have 1 hour every week dedicated to your writing, if you're not writing for publication and on deadlines and all that stuff, if you just have 1 hour a week, I guarantee you by 3 years from now, you're going to have a lot put in the computer that is going to be readable. And you can go back over it. And then once you go back over it and you have a plan for where this is going or what it's going to be doing, and you've spell checked it with your Word doc, you know, through your Word document and all that stuff, through your editor, then you can ask people to beta read it. Or like I did with the prayer book, field test it. Like, I actually had people reading the prayers every single day and doing, you know, working with it, and so they could come back and say, oh my gosh, you know, this is working, or hey, you better put on Patrice, one of our fellow guildies from the Catholic Writers, she goes, Belinda, if you want people not to get angry with you, you better put back St. Nicholas on December the 6th. So this, I need to tell you that those of us who are Catholic listening to the podcast, we have sometimes and sometimes not one saint on the calendar, right? But there are many saints on every single feast day, even the ones that the calendar doesn't record, and that's the ones I had to go research. Well, we're trying to get in my book, Pray With Us, we're trying to get in as many different saints from as many different countries as we can, et cetera, et cetera. So I thought, well, everybody knows St. Nicholas. They're still going to celebrate his feast day anyway. Let me go ahead and put Blessed Adolf on that one. So Patricia's like, no, if you're marketing this to homeschool families, that was really good input. So I went back to my editor, I said, one of my field tests is saying I need to put this back in. So even if it's, he's, you know, even if he's from the same country we have already, I think he should go in. And she's like, yeah, I think you're right. So we put him back in. So these are the kind of things people tell you to help you with your writing, so that if you're targeting an audience that they're part of, they can say, hey, you need to do this and not that, or you need to be careful about this type of language. Or like with you, there were several instances where I was writing about children who have not been born yet, like the family on July the 7th, the Ulma family. Anyway, that this Ulma family was from Poland with 8 children, including a preborn child. And how do I write that? Every time I write it, what is the pro-life community using? And you said preborn. So I went back and I changed at least 3 entries to preborn, because as a friend and beta reader and things like that, you know what the terms are that I need to use. So anyway, and then you ask God to help you find where you're going to publish it and how you're going to publish it, and people who will help you. And if you're Catholic, if you want to belong to the Catholic Writers Guild, that's one of the best, most supportive, most encouraging things you can do for your writing. Because even if your writing never gets published by anybody, you will have so much inspiration, encouragement from the rest of us just cheering you on. Come on, you can do this. I know you can do this. We're even on writing sprints in the morning on the heartbeat, telling each other what our goal is for the next hour. And okay, I'm with you. I'm praying with you. I'm praying for all of us too. And we're going to get this. And that's kind of how we do. So ask God to find a publisher and ask him to open doors for you to be able to publish what you're writing, if it's supposed to be published. Ask him to help you get it to the groups of people, or put it in on your website, or use it with the people in your company or your organization, wherever it's supposed to go. Ask him to open those doors so that you're in his writing. Because remember, it's y'all together as a team. It's going to get out there to the people he needs to help with it.
Absolutely. You've been listening to Lifelines Radio, a production of the Pennsylvania Pro-Life Federation. I'm your host, Maria Gallagher, Acting Executive Director of the Federation. We've been speaking with the marvelous author, Belinda Taro Mooney. Thank you for joining us today. And remember, there is always a reason to choose life.